If there's one thing I've learned over the 51 years of my life is that the more family you have, the more likely there'll be drama. Why? Because family is just a group of individuals with their own ideas, ideals, opinions, and values. And we believe that maybe we should all get along because we're family. Sometimes the bond of family can override the differences. Sometimes they can't. My advice, listen to the episode of Love and Abuse called You Deserve to Be Treated with Nothing Less Than Respect and Kindness. That's my other podcast over at loveandabuse.com. Life is way too short to be treated any other way.
Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now.
Hello, this is Paul Coliani, and I want to help you increase your emotional intelligence, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and give you the tools to show up as your authentic self. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. And hopefully you get something from it. Hopefully you tune in and you learn something that will help you in your life. That's my goal with each and every episode, that you learn something that you can use. I don't call myself a motivational coach. I don't come on here and motivate you so that you feel good in what you're doing or you feel motivated to do something different. There are people that do that and they're awesome, I'm sure. They're great and they're good for you, I'm sure. I like to come on here and teach you very practical tools that you can use in your life, tools that actually make up a philosophical foundation that helps you make decisions that are right for you. And what I mean by that is you can go throughout life and make decisions that are based on a set of values, set of opinions, set of beliefs, set of goals. You can go throughout your life and make decisions based on that. And you may also have, or not, a philosophy of why you make the decisions you do. For me, one of my philosophies, I have many actually, but one of my philosophies in making decisions is how much resistance or conflict is this decision going to create? That doesn't mean I don't make the decision if there's going to be resistance or conflict. I just ask myself that question or feel it out. I'm in the middle of a decision and I'll think, okay, is there going to be resistance or conflict in this decision? Now, that's not a dysfunctional way to think, like the people pleaser that might think, okay, there's going to be conflict and I don't want to create conflict, so I'll do this instead. That's not what I'm talking about. This is more of the predictive algorithm of my life. I'm predicting what will happen when I do this. And again, it doesn't mean I'll not do it or I'll stop myself from doing it. I'm just introducing it as a variable in my decision-making process. And this can be helpful in your life when you're about to make a decision that you know will create some sort of conflict or resistance. Doesn't mean you don't make the decision. It just means you introduce that variable in your decision-making process so that you can understand what the outcome will be. Now, here's the important part. I am getting to some hopefully good stuff here. The important part is what will be the long-term outcome. I think some of us get frightened by the short-term outcome, so we don't make the decision and disregard the long-term outcome. What is the long-term outcome of this decision? It's like when I decided that I was going to honor my boundaries. You know what? I'm going to honor my boundaries this time. Every time I let them walk all over me, but this time I'm not going to let it happen. And that means I have to make a different decision. I'm going to make a different choice this time. My choice is to honor myself. And this is a time in my life when I started getting past my dysfunctions, getting over my dysfunctions. And all that means is I used to not honor myself. And honoring yourself means many things to many people, but I look at it as when people cross the line with me, I let them. That's not honoring myself. When they crossed the line with me, I let them. Now I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. And of course, you don't want that to happen, but it does happen. People cross the line. So we draw the line and we might tell them there's a line there. But in my life, I never told them about the line. I just hoped that they would see it. I hoped that they would know there was a line there. But here's the thing, and you probably know this, most people don't know about the line unless you tell them. They cross the line, what do you do next? And that's where I choose to honor myself. Hey, you crossed the line, could you please not do that? To me, it's that simple. That is a grounding philosophy that creates my foundation of how I think. In other words, I look at the line as a cue for me. Hey, they crossed the line. It's my cue. I'm going to take that cue and take action. It doesn't mean I have to take action. It just means there's a cue there and I can choose to take action or not. And so I make a choice based on long-term results and long-term outcomes rather than short-term. And this can keep you out of trouble. This can keep you on a better path for yourself. It keeps you out of a path of self-sabotage. Because what you're doing is you are making decisions based on a deeper set of beliefs and values and plans for your future instead of a short-term fear. Because I see a lot of short-term decision-making based on fear. And if you make short-term decisions because you're afraid of what might happen otherwise, then what you end up doing is you stay on a path that doesn't satisfy you. I just talked about this on a recent episode. These are all about your values and your beliefs and your goals. And when you make decisions that aren't in alignment with those things, the long-term results are usually negative. They're usually against what you want. All you have to do is look in your past. When you were in a situation that you weren't happy in, but you stayed in that situation, when you left that situation, did it feel better? Maybe not in the short term, but in the long term, did you feel better? Now, some people will say, no, I didn't. It was worse. That's true. You know, not everything's going to work out perfectly. But how long is the long term that you're thinking of? Let's just say that you got out of a bad relationship. And then 5 years later, you're kicking yourself. I shouldn't have gotten out of that relationship because I lost my home, I lost my money, and now I only see my kids three quarters of the time. There might be some bad long-term results. But what about 10 years from now? What if you meet someone new and you have a great time and you start making money again, or the person you met's rich, or you're in a nice house by the lake or the ocean or whatever you like? You don't know. You don't know until it happens. And some people, they might be pessimistic about it. And I get it. It's easy to be pessimistic. But let's just say that a few years from now, something changes, and it wouldn't have changed had you not made that decision in the past. This is how I think. And I don't know if you care how I think, but if you're listening, then maybe you care about a more optimistic way to think, not necessarily better. Not better than your way of thinking and not better than any other way of thinking. It's just a way I think so that I don't have such a dismal outlook about the future. I remember when I was completely broke, my wife and I, we ended up filing bankruptcy and we lost the place we were renting and I lost the condo that I owned and I lost a lot of stuff. I lost everything. And all I had left was I think $5. It was just nothing. And what we did was go to the soup kitchen every morning, really early, and met a lot of nice people, a lot of giving people, and ate what they served us and collected our expired food and put it in a box and brought it home. And we found ways to get by that were phenomenal. I mean, it was just an amazing experience. And I remember it with humbleness. I remember it with gratefulness, gratitude. And I remember it with love. And I remember it with a sense of peace. There was a sense of peace not having much to my name at all, much to our names, but I remember it personally. I remember having very little to my name and being okay with it. Because in my opinion, the more stuff you have, the more stress you have. It doesn't have to be that way, and it's not always that way, but stuff can be stressful. Great, I have a car. Oh, it got a scratch. Great, now I have a big TV. Nobody touch it. Nobody touch it. I don't want it to fall. Now we have animals. Now we have animals and one of them's sick. Okay, now we got to go to the vet. Now we have to pay for the vet. Now we have to walk them every day or whatever it is. There's always something, and not all of it's stressful. It's just more. The more you have, the more likely there will be stress. But I'm kind of rambling right now. I'm getting off topic. I want to come back to this idea of resistance and when you're in a conversation and how resistance can create conflict and can create stress. And it's not what most people want. So when we come back, I want to give you some thoughts to keep in mind when you're in a conversation, when you're about to make a decision, so that you understand how resistance will play a role in the future. And let's answer the question, what is resistance? What is that? And when we come back, I'll answer that question and also tell you why it plays such an important role in your happiness and level of fulfillment and satisfaction in the long term. Let's get into that right after this. Well, we're talking about resistance today, and I'd like to share with you something that can help you with any resistance you feel inside of you. And I haven't even defined it yet. I haven't even defined, at least for the context of this episode, what resistance is. So I'm going to give you a quick definition of it, and it's what you feel inside. It's that conflict inside of you. I resist this thing being true. You might say that to yourself. I resist this thing being true, but it is, and it's hurting me. It's making me feel bad. And so I can listen to this podcast day and night, but I still feel this resistance or this conflict or this stress inside of me. And that's why I like talking about BetterHelp. BetterHelp is a customized online therapy that offers phone and video and even live chat sessions with a professional licensed therapist. And this gives you the opportunity to stay home or stay in your car or be somewhere where you feel safe to be yourself and reach out to a therapist whenever you feel like talking, you want to send them a message or set up a video or phone call, and they'll help you through whatever you're going through, whether it's depression or anger or trauma, any relationship issues, your anxiety that flares up from time to time or more often, anything that you're going through. It's a convenient, professional, and affordable service. And of course, everything you share is confidential. I think I've said this before, but I remember walking into a therapist's office and sharing all my stuff. And then when I walked out and closed the door, I felt like all my stuff was behind me. I had a lot of issues back then. I was in the midst of depression. I had to talk about a lot of stuff. And that was the first time I'd ever been to therapy, and I closed the door. And this is just like that. It's a place, like I said, online or phone or video or even messaging, where you can talk, you can share what's going on in your life and get help. That's what BetterHelp does. There's over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. They're here for you, and I've heard over and over again how great this service is, and that's why I love having them as a sponsor on this show. Check them out today. Go to betterhelp.com/brain, and as a listener to this program, you'll get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/brain, and start living a happier life today. Welcome back. Like I said, we're going to talk about resistance. I gave you a little bit of a sneak peek in the BetterHelp sponsor ad, and I wanted to kind of expand on that now. So first of all, let me address the question, what is resistance? Or at least in the context of this episode and in the context of emotional intelligence, I look at two areas of resistance, external and internal. External is what you do and say to and around others. Internal is how you feel about what you say and do to and around others. So my definition of resistance and my overall philosophy about resistance is what stops forward momentum. The train is moving, and when it keeps moving, you feel better inside yourself. Stopping the train requires pressure. It requires friction. It goes against the natural movement of the train. And think of the train as how you feel and what you create. How you feel is internal. What you create is external. So if you stop the train, how you feel inside, when you stop that train, in order to get it moving again, it's a process. It requires a lot of energy. And then to get it up to the speed that you had it had before, it takes even more energy and a lot of time. This is how I view internal resistance. It's what stops the forward momentum of what's going on inside of you. And then when it stops, it takes a long time to get that momentum back. Let me put this in context so it makes sense, because what does this have to do with anything? Because I'm explaining it and I'm getting lost in my own explanation. Maybe you're following along, no problem. But if I heard this, I'd be thinking, where are you going with this? Well, here's where I'm going with this. I'll take my stepfather, for example. He is an abusive alcoholic. Fortunately, not in anyone's lives in my family right now, but he shows up from time to time. So it's important to understand what creates resistance inside of myself, inside of me, when it comes to him. For example, I go to a family gathering and he's there. I know that being nice to him, even while he's incredibly intoxicated, being nice to him will create less external resistance, meaning the train is going in that direction. He's drunk. He's inappropriate. He can be really strange when he's drunk. And that's the way the train's going. So I don't want to stop that train, because if I stop that train, I know from history that stopping that train could make him violent. So it is very important that when I'm in this environment where he is present and people that I love are present, I'm not going to stop that train. I know it's temporary. He showed up and he's here and we got to deal with it. It's temporary. So it'll go away. It sucks. I mean, I don't like having to change who I am, which is really what's happening. I'm changing who I am in that moment just to allow the train to continue moving that direction. Because if I stop that train, all that resistance, all that friction, all that stress, all that pressure builds. And suddenly the train is no longer going in the direction it has been going. The train has been going in the direction that we're getting the least amount of stress and tension and friction from the situation. So here we have an alcoholic, abusive person, a very toxic person in the family environment, and we could all act nice, pretend that we're all happy he's there, and keep that train moving in that direction, because we know if we slam the brakes on and say something like, hey, you know, you shouldn't be drunk. What are you doing here? You're not allowed here. You're not invited here. You know, if any of us said that, that train stops, or at least it slams on the brakes, and suddenly the forward momentum of the good times turns into bad times. There's some in-between messaging I'm trying to convey here, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes you have to be someone that you don't want to be just to appease someone that will become more toxic if you stop the train going from that direction. Or you can look at it as sort of an energy flowing in that direction. Like you turn on a light switch and the energy flows through the light switch to the bulb, and the bulb lights up. You turn off the light switch and the energy stops, the electricity, it stops, and that light bulb is no longer on. You turn it on, the energy flows. You turn it off, the energy stops. So in this case, the energy is flowing in a good direction. The toxic person is being themselves, and there's nothing you can do about it, so we're going to keep that energy flowing in that direction as much as we don't even want this person around. The in-between message here that I'm giving is, if you complain, the internal resistance builds inside you. I'm not saying that you shouldn't or can't complain. I'm saying that if there's a known problem that creates an internal resistance to a truth about an external circumstance, then what you're doing is stopping your internal flow. You're stopping your internal train. And what that does is create friction inside of you. I hope this makes sense. I hope I'm expressing this in a way that makes sense. The in-between the lines comment I'm trying to make here, or the meta comment I'm trying to make here, is there's a path of least resistance inside of you that leads to the most satisfying conclusion or outcome inside of you. In my case, throughout my childhood years and growing up, the path of least resistance that led to the most satisfaction or the happiest or least saddest outcomes was being nice to someone I didn't want to be nice to. This sounds like giving in and giving up. Just give me a minute. It sounds like giving in and giving up. But what I'm doing is getting through the moment, the short-term moment, to create a long-term result of more happiness and more satisfaction. Again, this sounds like a depressing way to go, because that means if I follow this path, if I always appease this person that is always toxic in my life, then what I end up doing is feeling less happy because I'm not honoring myself. I'm not going in the direction that I want to go. I'm going in the direction that they're taking me. In this case, my stepfather would be taking me along his path, what I call a vortex of misery, because when he's around, we all get sucked into his miserable life. It sounds like I'm being mean. I'm not trying to be mean, actually. But wherever he goes, he brings misery to, at least in my experience, the people that he's been around. There's a miserableness that is around him, that surrounds him, that people get sucked into. And they have to pull themselves out. So they may get stuck in this vortex that surrounds him or is him. And they have to pull themselves out. And pulling themselves out is like starting that train again. It's like trying to get the speed and the momentum going in their own life, inside of them, so that they can be happy again. Because they were unhappy getting sucked into that vortex. So how I look at this is that when you have someone in your life or an event, but usually a person or people, they may present a problem in your life that you don't want to be a part of. And in order to get through certain moments with them, you kind of have to bite your lip and get through that moment. And when you're through that moment, you made it. Otherwise, you could stand up for yourself. You could defend yourself. You could tell them, hey, you're being awful. Please stop. But then you think of the outcome of that, and they may get angry with you. They may not talk to you again. And maybe that's okay, too. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with defending yourself, standing up for yourself, or creating that resistance. I just think it's important to assess what may happen when you do. Now, all of that said, and this is where I'm trying to get you to and trying to make the point, which is actually more difficult than I thought. I'm trying to make the point that you don't have to keep the flow going for them. What I mean is, my stepfather, if I follow the external flow and I want things to be okay externally in my environment, in the circumstances, then what I'll do is be nice to him. I won't say anything that conflicts with his path. You know, if I said, you shouldn't be drunk, then that might conflict with his path. So externally, that would keep his flow. But here's the main thing. When you honor someone else's path, when you honor their train going along their track, and you honor their momentum, you may create resistance inside of you, that internal feeling. So if I honored my stepfather's path and was always nice to him and always appeased him, always placated him, I just became his subordinate in a way, almost as if I were an emotional slave to his needs, then I am denying myself my own personal flow. I'm just going to use the word flow. It means a lot of things, but it makes sense. There's an internal flow inside of you, and when that flow is unrestricted, when there's no resistance to that flow, you feel better. You feel like you're going along the right path, and your outcomes are usually better because you're in alignment. This is what I was talking about earlier. When you're in alignment with your values and beliefs and your goals, both short-term and long-term, you feel better. You're going along a path that you feel good about. And that is that internal flow. And it feels good to stay on that path. Then a toxic person comes into your life, or you get a really crappy job, and now the internal flow is obstructed. Now you feel resistance. I don't want to go to work today. I don't want to see my ex-family-in-law. I don't want to see that person. I don't want to deal with that person. I don't want to talk to that person. I don't want to do this. All those I don't want to's create that internal resistance. And so this is sort of how I develop my grounding and foundational philosophy. It grounds me to stay in this philosophical state of mind. And the philosophy is, what is going to create the least resistance inside my body, the internal resistance? Because the more resistance you create inside of you, the more likely you will end up along a path of self-sabotage. And self-sabotage almost always has to do with not being in alignment with what you really want to do and say. That's it. That's the entirety of self-sabotage, in my opinion, is not being in alignment with what you really want to do and say. So here I am laying out this entire scenario with my stepfather at a family gathering, and I'm telling you, at least I was telling you, that in order to have a smoother external flow, I have to appease the toxic person. I framed it in that to then take you along another route, that by doing that, I'm creating an internal resistance, because that's not what I want to do. I don't want to make his life easier so my life is harder. I don't want to appease him and placate him, because if I do, I feel like total crap. I want to swear, but I'm not going to. I feel like crap if I do that. It's the obstruction inside of me It's like emotional gas. Don't take that the wrong way, but you know, I guess you can't any other way. It's a stoppage, and it doesn't feel good, or maybe it's an emotional cramps. I'm probably not going to get any money for these terms I've coined. But let's look at it that way. It's a stoppage inside of you. So suddenly my flow has stopped. My internal flow, my internal train is coming to a stop. And you know how hard that is to appease someone else or do something that you don't want to do? That's so hard. And something I've learned over the many, many decades of my life now is that the more I resist internally, the worse my life turns out, or at least I am not as happy as I could be. It's actually not happy at all. I'm usually not happy at all. There's usually something big going on in my life that I can narrow down to something that I chose to do that I didn't want to do many, many moons ago. I can look at a decision that I made months or years ago and say, if I had only followed the path of least resistance inside of me, the path that I wanted to follow that kept the flow going, then I wouldn't be in this situation today. Another example is an abusive relationship. I talk about abusive relationships over at loveandabuse.com. And sometimes you'll start a relationship and everything will be going along great. By the way, most emotionally abusive relationships start off fantastic. They are awesome. They are the best thing that's ever happened. That's how a lot of them start out. And then 2 to maybe 4 months, and sometimes 6 months, the person that is toxic underneath, their true colors start coming out. And these little injurious comments and behaviors start coming out and affecting the person in the relationship in a bad way. They start getting blamed for things. They start feeling guilty that they're not doing enough or they're doing the wrong thing. I mean, emotional abuse, a huge bucket of stuff that I talk about over there. But my point is, the emotionally abusive relationship starts off great and then it starts to get sour. Now, the thing is, when it starts to get sour or toxic, what's happening is there might be a moment where the abusive person says or does something that hurts the victim of that abuse. And when they do that, the victim, instead of addressing their internal resistance to what happens, will appease the abusive person. I mean, this is sometimes, or a lot of the times, but not always, but this is what happens, is that the emotionally abusive relationship continues to grow in hurt and abuse in more painful situations and more toxic situations, because the victim of that abuse continues to have higher and higher levels of resilience and toleration for the hurtful behavior. The hard part for the victim of emotional abuse is that their internal flow is getting stopped up, like left and right. It's coming at them left and right and in subtle, small ways. Yet instead of addressing the internal flow, they only address the external flow. Hear me out. This is something that is probably one of the most important points of this episode. You can address the external flow of things. I better appease, I better placate. Maybe it's my fault, so I'll do something different. All of this external behavior, words, what you do, what you say, all of that can be done externally to keep the external flow going. But if you don't address the internal flow, how you feel inside, you stop things up. And the more you do this, this is what leads to your energy being drained, your passion being drained, and sometimes even depression. You just get drained in so many ways. You get drained of all your vitality. This is why so many people in emotionally abusive relationships feel like a shell of their former self. That's a very common outcome for victims of emotional abuse. After the abuse has gone on for so long, it has eaten away at them from the inside out. That's the stoppage. That's the resistance. That is the conflict inside that's not addressed. Instead, the conflict outside is addressed. Their external environment, their circumstances, the people in their environment. And they'll say things like, it must be me, so I'm going to change this in my external world. Instead of looking inward. This is the important part of the episode, yes. You should look inward. You should look in there and find out if the flow has stopped. Has the flow stopped inside of you? Can you feel it? Is there a resistance in the flow inside of you somewhere? In the abusive relationship, that resistance may be, that didn't feel good. That resistance could be the thought, that didn't feel good. And you'll feel it. Oh, that doesn't feel very good. But we have but, meaning we say something like but. But it can't be something that they did, or it can't be the external environment. It's got to be me. So I'll allow this feeling to continue existing inside of me. This is so dangerous. This is where we create such an amount of resistance inside of us that our internal flow can be like cholesterol in our arteries. This is emotional cholesterol. There's another term. We have emotional cholesterol inside of our bodies by avoiding or ignoring the resistance inside of us. The resistance is the obstruction of the flow. The obstruction of the flow comes from our attention being on the external instead of the internal. Hey, they said something that hurt me. I feel that inside. It doesn't feel good. And so I better do something else so they don't say things that hurt me anymore. Instead of saying what you really feel and what you really think inside of you. Because there's a moment that it happens that you feel bad, that you can say something else instead of what you may say. I'm not talking to everyone, I know that, but there's a moment inside that you have an opportunity to continue the flow instead of block it. Let's not obstruct that flow and say what's on our mind. What do? We can say, hey, when you said that, just now, when you said that, it felt like you were insulting me. It felt insulting. This is what I feel inside. When you address what you feel inside and bring it into the external, what you're doing is taking it out of the internal and putting it in the external, the real world. I don't know the real world, but it's the external world. It's the 3D world. It's the world you live in. The internal world is yours. Nobody has access to that unless you express it. When you express it, people have access to it. When you don't express it, then whatever happens continues to happen unless you do or say something different, like if you walk away. If I walk away from this, I don't have to deal with that anymore. I won't have to internalize this stuff anymore and create obstructions inside me. I'm just going to walk away from it because I don't like it. But hopefully you're around people or circumstances where you can do or say something differently, and the external circumstances will change. Hey, what you said really felt disrespectful. Could you please not do that again? And then maybe they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be disrespectful. I don't want to do that because I care about you, so I definitely won't do that again. And if I do something like that again, please let me know. Isn't that like the best response you could ever hope for? It's healthy. It's emotionally intelligent. It shows that the person is conscientious and maybe flubbed up, but is willing to accept responsibility and tell you it's not going to happen again. And if it does, it's a mistake. So please let me know. I think that's the best way to have a conversation. It's the best outcome you could hope for because we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to say things that we didn't mean to say. We're going to do things we didn't mean to do. It's going to happen. So when you have someone in your life that is willing to consider your internal resistance, your internal obstruction, because you're expressing it, because you're saying, hey, when you said that or when you did that, that didn't feel right. I didn't like that. Let's talk about that. I'm taking the internal obstruction, I'm bringing it to the outside of me, to the external world, and I am expressing it in a way so that it can be addressed. This is like what I've said before. Put it all on the table. Let's talk about this. what you're doing, though, is putting it on the table before it becomes a buildup. Because if someone in your life is causing you to feel a certain way where your internal flow is being obstructed, and you're not expressing these obstructions, these thoughts and feelings that you have, those obstructions continue to block your flow and continue to diminish your happiness. And if you heard me talk about how to achieve depression, not that it's an achievement, but how to get to that point where you are depressed, you suppress what you're thinking, you repress what you're feeling, and that leads to depression. The obstruction of the flow inside your body leads to depression. Not always, but this is what can lead to depression. And when it comes to the emotionally abusive relationship, for example, I'm talking about how when the first thing happens, don't let the next thing happen without addressing the first thing. What often happens in any relationship of any sort is the first thing happens and it's not addressed. So you do the next thing without addressing the first thing, and the next thing happens and that becomes the second obstruction. And then the next thing happens, so on and so on. And suddenly you have all these obstructions inside of you. And what ends up happening with all those obstructions is that you forget what the first one was. It becomes a distant memory because the second one is compounding on top of the first one, and it combines, it meshes together. So the first one becomes the second, becomes the third, and it gets bigger until you have this nasty, gunky stuff inside of you that just you carry around everywhere. I remember this. I remember going through this. Maybe you're going through this right now with some area of your life, but I remember not knowing why I wasn't happy. It was in the 90s and early 2000s. I was just driving one day and I asked myself, am I happy? And I said, no. And I thought, what do you mean I'm not happy? I feel happy. But then this little voice inside of me came up and said, well, you're not as happy as you could be. And I thought, well, what does that mean? Do I need more money? Do I need a nicer partner, a more attractive partner? Do I need a nicer car? What does that mean? And there was just something inside of me that I could not define because I tried everything on. Okay, what would happen if I had more money? Would I feel better? Well, there would be a lot of areas of improvement in my life, but I would still feel this inside of me, this obstruction to my happiness, this thing that's preventing me from being as happy as I could be. Then I thought, okay, what about a partner in my life, or a different partner, or, you know, more this or less that? How about this job? What if I had a different job? And everything I tried on wasn't enough. So that made me realize all this external stuff didn't really matter when it came to what I needed to address, which was inside of me, which was the obstruction, which was years of buildup of me not taking the internal obstructions and bringing them outside of me. And that just means expressing what's going on inside of me. It means not just sharing your thoughts and feelings, but really addressing the deeper stuff that started building those obstructions in the first place. And it usually has to do with major, or at least emotional events in your life. Like, remember that time you felt really sad that your parent or one of your caretakers said this. Remember that time you felt really sad. And what did you do with that sadness? Where did it go? Because if it's in there, it could have obstructed your path to happiness. And when that's obstructed, you'll never feel as fulfilled or satisfied as you could and should. You'll never feel as fulfilled. You'll never feel like you can be totally free of stress and worry and tension, because there'll always be something down there. And that's important to address. And I know this is what therapy does. We talk about our past. We talk about all the stuff that has happened. But I like to look at it as, what is obstructing me now? What is blocking me? What needs to change in order for me to feel better inside myself? And I sometimes reverse engineer this. I call it reverse engineering. Instead of visiting my past, I visit my present and how I'm showing up in the world today. What I mean by that is, what is happening presently in my life today that I am not acting in a congruent way in order for me to stop compounding the obstructions inside my body? And let me clarify that. Let's just say that I can think of a circumstance today that I wish I could handle differently. You know, if I worked at a place and my boss was a jerk, I would think, I wish my boss would stop being a jerk, because every time they yell at me, I stuff a ball of anger down into my stomach. I used to hold all my anger in my stomach, so I know how that feels. So every time my boss yells at me, I stuff that anger down, and I never express to my boss how I feel. What would happen if I changed that? Does that mean I should go into my boss and say, hey, when you yell at me, I get angry and I feel it and I stuff it down? No, probably not. I'm probably not going to say that. But if I want to address this obstruction inside of me, what I'm going to do is go to my boss and say, look, you come out and you yell at me and it's very disrespectful, and I just want to stop. I just want that to stop. So can we find a better way or a more productive way to have a conversation instead of you publicly humiliating me every time you're mad at me? That might be something I would actually say. Yes, it could get me fired. It could. I'd rather be fired than carry around these damn obstructions. I don't want to carry around these balls of anger inside of me. It eats away at me. It gives me freaking ulcers. I hate it. You can hear it in my voice how much I hate it. I don't want to carry around anything that blocks my flow inside of me. Of course, there are things in the world that are going to do this. You're going to have to hold back sometimes. You're going to have to placate the toxic person sometimes. You're going to have to go with their flow instead of yours sometimes. But you got to do something about the obstructions inside of you. What is blocking the flow inside of you so that the train can continue moving, continue with the momentum that you want it to have? Because every time you throw something in its path, it gets slower and slower, and it's very hard to get that momentum back. And you may never feel as fulfilled and satisfied as you know you can be and you should be. Or maybe you don't know you can be, but you should be. I'm saying it. You should be. You should feel happy and fulfilled and satisfied. And if you don't feel it, you deserve to feel it. You deserve to feel happy and fulfilled and satisfied, or at a minimum, not obstructed, not stopped up. No more emotional gas, no more emotional cramps, no more blockage. We gotta get rid of that stoppage. What's inside of you that needs to come out? And it doesn't mean I feel angry, so I'm going to express that I'm angry. That's not necessarily the way to go. It might mean, just like I said with the boss example, it might mean expressing something. When you say this, it feels disrespectful. So I don't want that to happen anymore, or I wish you could talk to me in a different way. It might be that. And that could lead to being fired. That could be somebody leaving you. That could lead to a number of things. I'm not saying you have to do this. I'm not saying that this is a requirement. I'm just telling you what causes these obstructions inside of you. I'm telling you what slows or stops the train, the flow, the energy that's going on inside of you. And when you're finally able to remove the obstructions and allow the flow, your life feels so different. You can make decisions that are right for you, that feel good to you, that are in alignment with what you want, with what you feel better about, what you feel good about. And what you end up doing is avoiding self-sabotage, and you avoid putting yourself in a position many months or years later where you're looking at your life and you're thinking, how the hell did I get here? How did I get here? And then you can look back and think, how many times I chose to stuff it down instead of address it. And I'm not blaming you for that. I did this probably for a lot longer than a lot of people listening. But I learned how to get out of it by taking what I feel are risks. and they were worthy risks. They are risks that I would absolutely do again, even when the short-term outcome was terrible. I've talked about those risks on this show before, you know, speaking back to my boss, speaking up for myself in front of my stepfather, many, many times that I've expressed to myself that have been a short-term fear that when I did it, it was very much in alignment with what I was thinking and feeling at the time, and I needed to do it because I was so tired of stuffing everything down. So I've explained something probably 28 different ways today, and I hope that one of those ways was able to connect with you in a way that helps you and maybe diminishes the amount of stoppage or resistance inside of you. Because when you create resistance inside of you, that resistance does persist. It does not go away. The train is traveling uphill and you are behind it, pushing it. And the top of the hill is like peace and comfort and happiness or whatever you're trying to seek for yourself. It doesn't even have to be happiness. Happiness is kind of fleeting. It's you're happy one moment and then maybe you're neutral the next and maybe you're sad another moment. It's just an emotion. It comes and goes. But there's a long-term way of feeling that you would rather feel the majority of the time, be it peace, be it comfort, be it happiness, that you can feel more often than not if you're able to address this stuff inside of you. And like I was talking about, you can do it today in how you show up today, in the circumstances that you're in today, the people that you're around today. And yes, it's a risk. You could lose friendships. You could lose family. You could lose love and connection. There's a lot to lose in the external world, and there's a lot to gain in the internal world. Your internal state, believe it or not, when you address that and you deal with that, your external world changes. It shifts. It accommodates. It feels better. You feel better. Your external world can look completely different when you're done. I know mine does. My external world looks completely different now that I've cleared, hopefully, a good 98% of my obstacles inside of me. There might be a few still in there, so I got to be aware of them, and when they come up, address them. But when you do this, when you work on yourself in yourself instead of the external environment, when you work on what's going on inside of you and bring it out into the external and work with it there, then what ends up happening is you start changing your world, both worlds, your internal and your external. And when both worlds change. You feel better. It just doesn't happen in the short term. The short term is the tough part. The short term contains all the fear. The long term contains the reward. The short term can contain the reward as well, but it's usually a longer term thing. And what I'm saying, just to give you this final thought, doesn't mean you have to address anyone in your life. You don't have to go up to the toxic person and say, hey, when you say that, it makes me feel bad. You don't have to say that. You can just get away from the toxic person if that's what it takes or if that's what you want to do. Or, like I was talking about earlier, resistance comes in the form of complaining. You could just accept that they're a toxic person and stop complaining. And I don't want to come on here and say, hey, just stop complaining and accept all the crap in your life. I don't want to do that to you. I'm just giving you options and what happens when you choose differently if you are carrying around those obstacles or obstructions. I want you to flow. I want you to feel better inside of you. I want you to find peace and comfort and happiness or whatever you're looking for to feel better inside of you. And in my opinion, this is one way to do it. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be right back with my thank yous and my goodbyes and my final words right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our sponsor today, BetterHelp. Go to betterhelp.com/brain and get 10% off your first month today. I also want to thank our financial backers, the patrons this week, Nathan, Jessica, Jamie, Holly, Crystal, or Christelle, maybe, Angel, Jillian, Angela, Michelle, and two new patrons. I am so grateful, Kathy and Julie. You're brand new. You decided to give back because I don't know why. If you feel like giving back, you can go to moretob.com and you'll have an option of giving a single donation or a monthly patronage, which gives you access to the patron program where I have some private episodes and workbooks and worksheets and all kinds of stuff over there that I don't put anywhere else. So that's over at moretob.com. I am so grateful for all of you, and welcome Kathy and Julie. Thank you all for your support. And you heard me talk about it. If you're looking for a show to help you navigate through a difficult relationship, head over to my other podcast, Love and Abuse, over at loveandabuse.com. On that show, I help you pinpoint the behaviors that are causing you to leave every conversation feeling bad. And you know what happens when you feel bad? You stuff those things down. I mean, it can happen that way. Hopefully you don't do that, but you know, you might. And if you do that, what do you do with those obstructions? What do you do with that feeling inside of you? That's why I created that show, and that's why I talk about it on this show, because I don't want you to walk around with those obstructions. So check that out if you are in a difficult situation with someone. And if you think you're the difficult or toxic or abusive person in the relationship, that's why I created a program called Healed Being. Go to healedbeing.com and see if you fit the criteria of doing emotionally abusive behavior. Emotional abuse is a huge bucket of bad behavior that takes place over days, weeks, months, and years, and it is often unnoticed, even by therapists. A lot of therapists do not notice the emotionally abusive behavior. So it is important that if you have a partner that is telling you, you know, you're hurting me, or they're always upset, or they always feel down or something, let's make sure that you're not doing the hurtful behavior. And I'm not trying to say you are or you're not, but if you feel like you might be doing that, or they've expressed that you are causing them pain or suffering of some sort, go to healedbeing.com and see if that program is right for you. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And for my final words, I was going to address resistance today in the way where you're having a conversation and you could put up a wall and say, no, I disagree. Let's go in a different direction with this because I have facts that are going to prove you wrong. Yes, that can absolutely create resistance. It stops the flow of the conversation, and it could change the direction. With the right person, you can have a healthy debate. You can have a healthy conversation with disagreement with the right person. With the wrong person, or I should say, with a person who may not be as open-minded, with a person who gets very offended by you disagreeing with them, you may not have a successful outcome to that conversation. It could escalate. And here's what I believe the reason is. I believe that when you disagree with someone who gets very offended that you disagree, it's because they are taking it so personally that they feel unworthy, unimportant, not smart enough. It all affects their self-worth and their self-esteem. I mean, just think about that for a moment. The people that get the most offended by a disagreement or something that you tell them that maybe is different from what they believe, if they get super offended or they get mad at you, it could be that they are taking a hit on their self-worth. And if they're already insecure in that area of their life, it's going to be very difficult for them to accept any type of disagreement or change of belief or anything like that. Not that I want you to try to prove yourself right to them and prove them wrong. You know, you got to be gentle with some people, or at least have an open-minded conversation. But what I'm saying is that there are some people that take it so personally at the self-worth level that they could be very angry or even toxic when a disagreement arises. If they are already low in the self-worth department, then that makes it even worse for them because a lot of their worth is hanging by a thread. This doesn't define everyone that gets angry. I'm just saying that there are people out there that walk around with a lower sense of value in themselves. They don't feel as valued or as worthy inside. And they may never say that. They actually may show up as more worthy, or at least showing you that they're smart or they know what they know and they know they're right. But the more offended someone gets or the more angry someone gets about a disagreement, I do think that there's a level of insecurity that they may be carrying around that they haven't addressed inside themselves. And until that's addressed, you may not be able to have a healthy disagreement. And if that's the case, then I want you to not create resistance with those types of people. You can if you want. You can do anything you want. You don't have to listen to me at all. But the more resistance you create with those people, the more resistance you will create in yourself, because they will likely become very hard to deal with, giving you thoughts and feelings and making you upset. If that happens, obviously, it's not going to feel good in the long run, unless it doesn't bother you. And if that's the case, you know, have at it. Go for it. I'm just saying that if there is someone in your life that is insecure in the self-worth and doesn't think they are as smart or as worthy or as significant or important because they were never told they were or they never felt they were from their upbringing, then they may be carrying that around at a deeper level. And that's why they are so defensive or toxic or whatever, because they feel it so deep, and it would be very, very painful for them to accept that they may be wrong or less intelligent, or, and I'm not saying that they would be less intelligent, they're just not willing to accept that there might be a different way of looking at things because their worth is so tied up in their current belief system. So you just have to give people, you know, some space to be themselves and allow them to feel what they need to feel. And sometimes you can't get into certain conversations with certain people. And that may be one reason why. Just something I was thinking about that I wanted to share with you that may be helpful, maybe not, but maybe it'll be in the back of your mind next time you have a conversation with that person again. It might give you something to think about and maybe feel a little bit of compassion for them. Wow, they feel really insecure inside. I get it now. I totally get it. I try to do that with certain people. I don't always succeed, but I do try. And I ask you try to if you want to. And if you don't, then do me a favor. Keep an open mind. This is how you step into your power and create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.